Welcome to Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship with Pastor Jim Swigert.
A couple of weeks, we are going to take a stroll through the scriptures in a mini-series, if you will, He Came. And we're going to be looking and emphasizing the reality, the truth, the fact, the blessing of Jesus coming into this world. And sometimes we need to recapture the wonder of Christmas. Amen? For you and I as born-again believers, Christmas is every day. Every day we celebrate what God has done through His Son Jesus coming here and going to the cross, resurrecting on that third day, and then ascending to the right hand of the Father. But my desire, my prayer is that all of us would truly embrace the person of Jesus for who He is as we go through these scriptures, as we reflect this Advent season. So why don't we pray and ask God's blessing. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that You delight in us, that everything that You have ever done for us is because of Your great love. And everything that You've done for us is by grace. We deserve nothing. And it's just a reflection, Lord, of the love that You have for us, the depth of Your love. And we pray, Lord, as we go through these scriptures, these next few weeks, God, that Your Holy Spirit would draw us closer to You, that You would remind us of the great love, remind us the depths, remind us of Your truth, the promises that You've given to us through Your Son. So, Father, would You work in each one of our hearts? You know each one of us, Lord. You know our need. You know our needs. And so, God, just come and meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's get started by looking at John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Again, we're going to be strolling through the scriptures, and that phrase stringing pearls comes to mind because we're going to emphasize the fact that He came, Jesus came, but we're going to be all over in the scriptures. Some scriptures might be on the screen, some might not. That's not intentional, it's just sometimes the Lord leads to another scripture that we don't have on the screen, on the computer to go to the screen. So we want to hear from the Lord, amen? We want to be reminded of His great truth. So John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Let's cruise on down to verse 14 of John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so He came. And I got to tell you, straight up, I've been influenced over the years by the great A.W. Tozer. Who are Tozer fans here? A lot of you need to find out who he is. Start getting his books. He's been in heaven since 1963. But it's when you hear him, the old messages, and what they've done is taken his messages and put them into book form. And it's amazing. The reality, the depth of his, you know, mindset with God, it's so very relevant today. And that's can be said of so many greats that are in heaven with now with the Lord, but their ministry and the things that God used them to say are so ringing true today. But I'm a big Tozer fan, and if you've ever done the devotional, the 28-day devotional for Christmas, He Came is the title. Fascinating. I love it. And I've always wanted to put something together for in sermon form. So here we are. He came. He came. Such profound words that zero in to the fact that God came in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Now, he came. If you just chew on those two words, you have a response to God. He came. What's that mean? A great question to stir up in conversations with your coworkers, your family members, and whomever that you come in contact with, and including fellow believers. What's it mean that he came? Of course, we understand that Jesus came, God in the flesh. We understand that on December 25th, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ, here on earth. We celebrate him coming, Emmanuel, God with us. But unless we embrace those two words, he came, we don't get the full picture. I want to read this to you. Again, my hope is that we chew on and reflect on the fact that as Jesus came to this earth, it reflects God's great love that he has for all of his creation. But listen to these words from A.W. Tozer pertaining to he came. The coming of Jesus Christ into this world represents the truth more profound than all philosophy, for all the great thinkers of the world together could never produce anything that could even remotely approach the wonder and the profound nudity disclosed in the message of these words, he came. So when we think of Christmas and the scriptures of Jesus coming, having already came, we think of what? Matthew, right? Matthew chapter 1. We think of Luke chapter 2 giving us the Christmas story. And rightfully so, we should look at those scriptures. In fact, we're going to look at them right now. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So in Matthew's gospel, we get Joseph's perspective here, and certainly fascinating. The reason for the season, amen? Jesus. I love that. I don't know who came up with that phrase, but it's so true. Jesus is the reason for the season. But the season for Jesus is every season. Amen? I didn't have to look that one up. That just came to me. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The miraculous, conception, the Holy Spirit. And we have a lot to explain to those who are agnostics or claim to be atheists when it comes to the virgin birth. Amen? But if we go back to the words, he came. In this story, we have an angel, we have the name of Jesus, we have prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7. 700 years prior to Jesus coming, the Lord spoke to the prophet Isaiah, and we read from Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So when we think that God spoke that to Isaiah 700 years prior to, it certainly reminds us prophecy is important, but also reminds us that God had a plan. God's always had a plan. Now, let's go over to Luke chapter 2 and read the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2. Beginning in verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who is with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It never gets old reading the Christmas story, whether it's from Matthew or from Luke. And here, it's just glorious to see. But I think when we look at these scriptures at the birth of Jesus to fully reflect, and again, focusing on he came and the purpose, to embrace the amazement of Christmas, we need to go back to the book of Genesis. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That's important. Because we know that when God created Adam, he told Adam not to eat of the tree of life, giving the knowledge of good and evil. Eve came along, and we know that Adam and Eve sinned. They disobeyed God. They ate of that tree. But something happened. Something was lost at that very moment in the Garden of Eden. Intimacy with God. Something changed. Sin being brought into the world, something changed. They had to hide from the presence of God, whereas before, just as God had intended, sweet fellowship with man. And in the garden, this intimacy was lost. Oh, certainly, as we read in the Old Testament, we see and read that God appeared to man in different ways, several times. We know that God spoke to man. He spoke to Moses, he spoke to Samuel, he spoke to David, he spoke to the prophets and others. But the relationship with man was changed in the garden when sin came about, when Adam and Eve sinned. He came. It's much more than celebrating Christmas in the way that we know how. He came, there's a bigger purpose and meaning. He came to redeem the lost, to reconcile man back to him. You know, that's a great word. Usually we use around Resurrection Sunday, redemption. But when you think in terms that he came, sent by the Father to redeem man. Well, we want to continue to scroll through these scriptures surrounding and looking at the person of Jesus. If Jesus is the reason of the season, we need to know and be reminded a little bit about Jesus. Where did he come from? How did he come? Why did he come? Where did he go? Have you ever thought about those questions? I mean, we understand that Jesus came, he's in a manger, right? But that's not the beginning of Jesus. Beginning of his humanity. But Jesus, as we'll see, he is eternal. But these questions, essentially every person has to think about. How did we get here? What is purpose in life? What's at the end of life? Is there eternal life? Is there heaven? Is there hell? You know, every person has to think upon these things, and every person has to essentially, logically, coherently answer these questions. And we have this fascinating belief, knowing what the scriptures tell us, knowing that we know because we have the Holy Spirit, of where we came from. But let's ponder and chew on and stroll through these scriptures that reflect on Jesus. Again, these are important truths to ponder as we are to embrace Christmas. You might even ask yourself this morning, who is Jesus to you? Who is he? Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Who do they say that I am? The question essentially isn't just a Christmas question. It's a question for every season, for every day, for all ages. You know, John the Baptist, he said, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And remember Peter, when he was asked, thou art the Christ. And remember Philip? Philip, the disciple of Jesus, remember that Jesus invited him to follow him. And then when he did, he went to Nathanael and said, we have found him who Moses, the law and the prophets spoke of, Jesus of Nazareth. Since you have your Bibles open now to John chapter 1, let's go back there and dissect a little bit, stringing pearls, if you will, back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is an amazing scripture. Amazing scripture. Pretty heavy stuff here. And of course, the Word is Jesus. And in this verse here, we have three proclamations of who Jesus is. In the beginning, kind of reflects back, right, to Genesis chapter 1. Certainly different perspectives from the Holy Spirit given to Moses and then the Holy Spirit given to John. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning speaks of before creation, time of, you know, past eternity, if you will. Jesus existed. This is the point here. The focus is Jesus. He's always existed. Sometimes people say, well, Jesus was born. Well, that's true. He was born in the flesh. But the person of Jesus, he is eternal. He's always existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Reminded in Revelation chapter 19, who's the Word there? It's Jesus, named the Word. Jesus in the beginning, before creation, before time. And now we read, was with God. And this certainly speaks of deity, speaks of the Trinity, if you will, the second person of the Trinity. And it speaks here, the Word was with God. An emphasis here of the intimate companionship that the Word, Jesus, had with the Father. Jesus spoke of this relationship with the Father, remember in John chapter 17, which we'll get to maybe next week, one of my favorite scriptures, showing that Jesus, when he prayed in his high priest prayer, he understood where he came from, he understood where he was going, and he said, he and the Father are one. Well, Jesus, you'll hear from skeptics, never claimed to be God. Well, that's a lie. Jesus didn't say that I am God, but how many times he said, I am? He said, I and the Father in one. I do nothing without, you know, the Father. Jesus certainly reflected on that he and the Father are one. And we have here, the Word was God. And remember in Hebrews chapter 1, we're told that Jesus is the express image of the Father. And that's the mindset here with John. And verse 3, we see he was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So Jesus as creator, remember in our Colossians study a few months ago, Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So Jesus, the Word, in the beginning, Jesus, the Word, was with God, and Jesus, the Word, is God. He's creator. Psalm 19, 1, 2 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So we're getting a glimpse here of the person of Jesus. And here's where I started to think about Genesis chapter 1, if you would turn there with me. Genesis chapter 1. Beginning in verse 25. Let's start in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. When you think and when you chew on, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, I don't know, but I want to share with you, as I chew on this, I couldn't help but to think of eternity past, before man was created. And you read this scripture, and you certainly don't want to read too much into it, but it's interesting, it says here, let us. And certainly we understand that the Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that Jesus being creator, Heavenly Father, Trinity being creator, we get just this little glimpse here in Genesis chapter 1 in the mind of God. When you think of Jesus being eternal and that he was before the beginning of time and that he was with God and that he is God, and you reflect on that God created man, we get this just a few words here, but my mind wonders, what else were they thinking about man? Let us make man in our image. Brothers and sisters, do you know how unique you and I are in the Lord? That we are so special to him. He's created the universe. He's created the animals. He's created living things. But there is something unique about the creation of man. We are created in the image of God. Now, right away, the theological words come to mind. Yes, we are created as free moral agents. We are created with the ability to choose. We are created with the ability to be creative. We are to express ourselves. And it's amazing that God would create individuals like everybody in his image with the ability to do those things that I just mentioned. We have the ability to express to God praise and worship. We have the ability to express our neglect of him, or to shake our fist at him, or to hate him. God's created us with that ability, with the ability to choose. And we understand that for God to be God, to give man free will, because ultimately we have been created to have a loving personal relationship with God. We are created to worship him. And so to be free and not to violate his sovereignty or our free will, he created us in the image of God that we might express to him. When we focus on and chew on and ponder on the words he came, it connects with he came for this reason: to redeem, to restore the relationship that he desires with man. Remember, when sin came in, there became a barrier between God and man. We were created to and had the ability and the desire to freely worship God, but when sin came in, there had to be a separation, because God is holy, he is right, he is just. And it was through his plan, even as we read in the scriptures, even before the foundation of the world, he knew that man would sin. I probably shared this. Anytime I think about this, I think of when I first got saved, I was watching a preacher named John Hagee. No need to go watch, just take my word for that. He said this. He said, when he gets to heaven, he's going to find Adam and kick him in the knee. I thought it was funny then. I don't think we'll do that when we get to heaven. I think we'll be praising Jesus. But nevertheless, we can't blame Adam. If Adam didn't sin, if Eve didn't sin, one of us would have sinned, and we have sinned. Amen? Man was going to blow it, is what I'm trying to say, and God knew this. But God had a plan. And his plan has always been that Jesus would come, that part of him would come. It's amazing when you think about that man is created in the image of God, and that God desires this relationship. And this is my prayer, and the prayer for me, my family, for our church, for every one of us, that embracing Christmas like we never have before. As you and I know, this world, our only hope is Christ. There's no joy that can be found in anything outside of a personal relationship with God. And you know what? God knows what every one of us needs. God knows what every one of us did this week that displeased him. And if you were the last person on the face of this earth, if you were the only person ever, he still would have sent his son Jesus. And he knows everything about us. Isn't that amazing? His grace. Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, who is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we'll be chewing on this verse again next week. The Word became flesh. I'm always amazed at God's plan. And I always say, and maybe I don't necessarily think of it too much myself, but what plan could man come up with to redeem man? Well, here's where we are today. Man doesn't think he needs redeemed. There's nothing wrong. We're progressing to the highest potential that man could ever become. We don't need God. We're just going to progressively grow. We don't need God. And as you oftentimes hear me, that's the problem with man. Man's trying to live without God. That's the ultimate nail on the head. That's man's problem. And the more man rejects him as we go through time, and you know what? It's no surprise because it's all in here, what's going on in the world today. But the just shall live by faith. Amen. Revived. So oftentimes this time of the year, it's hard for people. It's amazing how the holidays have a special thing in family, and rightfully so. And that's sometimes we go through trials and tribulations and sufferings, and it gets magnified at this time of the year. I'm convinced the warfare, there's no greater month than December when it comes to spiritual warfare. Because Jesus is the reason for the season, amen? But Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. The dwelt there in the Greek is tabernacle. He came to dwell with man. In the Garden of Eden, God dwelled with man, and man dwelled with God. The relationship was so unique. Sin came into the world, it changed. But with the Father's plan to send his Son, he came and he dwelled with man. But it's not just theological. Christmas is personal. He came as personal to every single one of us. It has more meaning. John, you know, he was great in sharing these things. Paul was great in sharing the things that he did in his epistles. But it was so personal. And we'll see, Christmas isn't just Christmas. We can go through all the scriptures and the talk of the virgin birth, the fact that Jesus came, personal relationship. And honestly, it all points to an anticipation of Jesus Christ coming again, because then it's going to be like Jesus as God intended when Jesus Christ comes back for his church and we're connected with him. And then his second coming. But turn with me. I'm going to go to John chapter 1, and I know this isn't on the screen. John chapter 1. And the mindset that John wasn't just giving out theology. He wasn't just giving out doctrine. Again, the fact that he came, it's personal. I want to read the testimony of John, the disciple, who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's the one who penned John's gospel. He penned the epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then also the book of Revelation. Let's capture the words in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Because it's testimony of what Jesus meant to him. It's really a reflection that Jesus came. Verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, this is a different beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you, that your joy may be made full. The beginning here, he's talking the relationship that he had with Jesus and the disciples' relationship they had with Jesus when he walked this earth. Understanding that Jesus, God in the flesh, manifested himself. Understanding that eternal life, the word of life gives eternal life. And just circle that word fellowship in your Bible. Because when you think about he came, he came to restore fellowship. Remember, in the garden, fellowship. restore this fellowship. And all of it, as you and I know, and as we'll continue to go through these scriptures next week, it's all a reflection of God's love. We understand this as believers. We throw God's love out there, the joy, the hope, the peace that we celebrate in Christ. In the book of the month, and I don't do this often, but I'm going to read out of this. I thought it was an excellent description pointing to the love of God that He has for you and I. Mindful that He's created us in His image, that we would have, and that we would desire to express our love to Him. Understand, folks, when God created us, when He created everything, it was an expression of Himself. And when He created man, uniquely creating us, He desired that relationship to give us purpose, to give us meaning, pointing to the love of God, helping us to understand God's love. This story. Dr. Maxwell Maltz tells a remarkable story of a love like this. A man had been burned and disfigured in a fire while attempting to save his parents from a burning house, but he couldn't get to them. They perished. He mistakenly interpreted his pain as God's punishment. The man would not let anyone see him, not even his wife. She went to Dr. Maltz, a plastic surgeon, for help. He told her not to worry. I can restore his face. And the wife was entrusted. The wife was unenthused. Her husband had repeatedly refused any help. She knew he would again. Then why her visit? She said, I want you to disfigure my face so I can be like him. If I can share his pain, maybe he'll let me back in his life. And Dr. Maltz was shocked. He denied her request, but was so moved by her love, he went to speak with her husband. Plastic surgeon, and I can restore your face. No response. Please come out. Again, there was no answer. Still speaking through the door, Dr. Maltz told the man of the wife's proposal. She wants me to disfigure her face to make her face like yours in the hope that you let her back in your life. That's how much she loves you. There was a brief moment of silence, and then ever so slowly the doorknob began to turn. The way the woman felt for her husband is the way God feels about us. But he did more than make the offer. He took on our face, our disfigurement. He became like us. Just look at the places he was willing to go, the feeding trough, the carpenter shops, badlands and cemeteries, the places he went to reach us, show how far he will go to touch us. He loves us. He came to demonstrate that wonderful love. I share with you this morning, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us to embrace. He came. What does this mean to you? Who is Jesus to you? These are questions that bring us to a response to God. And maybe you're here this morning that you need your faith rekindled. Well, God's a God of grace, a God of mercy, and an expert in reviving souls. Maybe you're here this morning having never, ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, you must think about He came. He came for a reason. And you can look in the mirror and see that reason, that He would have a personal, loving relationship with you. No response is a response. The Bible clearly tells us to come to God. We must admit that we're sinners, right? That's the cross. Jesus went to that cross and died on that cross for our sin, that we might have life, that fellowship might be restored. The Bible says, believe upon him, and all who believe shall, who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And confessing sin. Confessing sin is agreeing with God that I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. He came. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to string these pearls. I pray that your Holy Spirit would make sense of it all, Lord, that we might embrace, that we might chew on, that we might ponder in this season that you came. And that we might reflect on the great love, the death, Lord, the plan of redemption that we celebrate in the person that you sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for your blessing upon the folks here at Calvary Chapel Faith Fellowship, Lord, that you would continue to draw them closer to you, that the joy of the Lord would flow from our lives to others. That we would embrace this season, reflecting on that you sent your Son and he came. Father, we love you, we praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.